Hey guys, just before we get into it, we would like to acknowledge our podcast partners in Beyond Blue.
If you're feeling low, anxious, or need to talk to someone, please contact the people at Beyond Blue. Their phone number is 1300 224 636.
You can visit them on the website as well at www.beyondblue.org.au/get support. Enjoy the episode.
Thanks, guys.
Hello and welcome to the Listics AFL podcast. I'm your host John Van Norton, and here, as always, with me is my good mate Sean Lewis. Sean, have I woken you up?
Yeah, shit, mate, I'm here.
Yeah, sorry, we're recording two podcasts in a row. We normally record two podcasts in a row, but we're both a little bit tired today, so I did try to lift us up and give us a little boost coming into the back half of the day.
Absolutely.
We are going to get straight into it though. So we've already covered off the West Coast Eagles this week. The other eliminated team was the Brisbane Lions. Now, the Brisbane Lions, they've probably got a little bit more longevity up their sleeves in terms of where we sort of see their list going, given that they were the second youngest team in the AFL this year, with an average age of 23.43 and average games of 56.6, which is also the third least in the AFL. So they're cubs still. They're not really a mature team, and they've also just lost their most experienced player in Luke Hodge. So I don't know what their age profile is going to look like next year, but they're definitely an older team that I think probably overperformed this year due to draw, lack of injury, and momentum.
Yeah, absolutely spot on there, John. Couldn't agree with that assessment much more. I think even though they are a very young team on paper, I was just actually trying to pull up what their week-to-week age is. I don't think week-to-week they're as young as we probably think. But yeah, they are definitely a very young team, and they are a team that bounced this year, bounced very hard, obviously from, where they finished last year?
Fifth bottom?
15th, yeah, 14th maybe?
Yeah, 14th.
Up to second, yeah. And then obviously finishing fifth for the year as being the highest ranked loser on the weekend. Look, I think for Brisbane, the biggest thing for them is avoiding the Melbourne of 2018. And Brisbane this year have had a really, really great run with injuries. So a lot of the keys that you look at in the AFL for when a team is performing well and outperforming what you expect, it's often linked either to injuries or unexplained upticks in players developing quickly. For Brisbane, in this particular case, they have had an absolutely incredible run with injuries. I think last injury table I saw, they were the number one in terms, which means the least games missed by their best 22, and the next nearest was double what they were.
Yeah.
And like that type of run is like Adelaide 2017 to the grand final.
Yeah, I know. Marcus Adams is probably the only person that was really missing from their best 22 for most of the year through injury. And even he, by finals, was back and playing. So they're going to have it much harder next year, that's for sure. Obviously,
they're also going to get a harder draw.
They're going to get a top six draw, and like just standard luck and random fluctuation would say that they'll probably be middle of the pack for injury next year, in which case I reckon that they're sitting probably just outside the eight if I'm predicting where they'll be next year. So
yeah, I mean,
when the market's open for betting, feel free to short the Lions, say that they won't make finals. I think that'll be a fair bet.
Yeah,
look, I don't bet, but I don't think they will make finals.
I tend to agree with you, mate. Like I genuinely think that they're going to be struggling a lot for I guess next year when they've got, so what the top six draw means for them is that they're going to not play any of the bottom six teams twice, which they had the luxury of this year doing multiple times,
with the exception of Gold Coast, who they'll play the doubleheader against.
Ah, that's true,
they always play the doubleheader against them. But
actually, just while I've got, I found the one I was looking for, the team average age for week to week.
Yeah.
Brisbane is literally sitting middle of the pack.
Oh, okay.
They would be ninth.
Okay.
On 25.2 average age each week.
And without Hodge, they go from ninth to the bottom?
No, I think, well, we've also got Steph Martin's quite old. You've got Zorko, Lockie Neal's mid-20s.
Yep.
So they got a few guys that are a bit older. If Marcus Adams comes in, he's like about 27 or something. So, you know, they're not completely babyish. They've got a lot of young players and they've got a young midfield and everything, but they do have a fair bit of experience. Daniel Rich should be getting close to 30 now.
Yep.
That sort of thing. So, you know, the biggest thing for them next year is just going to be really avoiding that big drop. And I think if they just missed finals or they just make finals next year, that's a successful year for them because it means that they're probably going to develop their bottom end a bit more. So, yeah. Depth chart wise, 4 key forwards, 6 key defenders, 7 general forwards, 8 general defenders, 19 midfielders and 3 rucks.
Yep.
Very, very heavy on the midfielders. I know they've got a lot of utility type midfielders that play forward and back, like off the half back line. They've got a few wingers and stuff, but you know, I'd like to probably see a few more of the more generalist position players, like a specialist small forwards and specialist small defenders.
Probably. Yeah, I agree. I think that's probably the split that's going to start happening over the next few years as they develop, is that you'll both get midfielders that were people that were drafted as midfielders and are currently listed as midfielders changing into general forwards and general defenders as mm-hmm. they develop into their position. And also they just need to go that way a little bit more so that they can have some strength in those areas, because at the moment they've got a lot of strength in youth. But yeah, I mean, outside of that, they're still definitely a developing team. And when we look at their best players for now, so they're still quite heavily reliant on Stephen Martin and Dane Zorko, who were both now over 30.
Yep.
They were able to bring in Lockie Neal in the off-season as well, which was huge for them, as well as Jared Lyons and probably Harris Andrews and Huma Cluggage would be the other two big ones for them now. And then into the future, you're looking at Harris Andrews, Huma Cluggage, Eric Hipwood, Cam Rayner is probably there as well, and I'd probably still have Lockie Neal in there. Last year we had Alex Witherden, but I think that he'd proved himself this year to be more of a role player than an absolute star.
Yeah, I think so, but I think he's going to be the natural Hodge replacement. So I think when they brought in Hodge, it probably helped Witherden at first, but then it probably, as he developed, he probably got to a level where it almost became a little bit hindering. So I think that in terms of the halfback role that Hodge played with that real general by foot, that's going to be Witherden in the future, which is great for him to be able to learn off Hodge. But you know, probably they do still lack run off the back line, which we'll talk about in a minute. But just want to touch on the other key changes. I think, you know, the swapping of Dane Beams for Lockie Neal is probably the obvious one. They would have liked to have paired them both together, but I actually think this works out better for them.
Yeah, well, given that they were still able to get a first round draft pick this year.
Yeah. And then on top of that, we're still never going to understand why Jared Lyons was allowed to walk to Brisbane. That was just insane to me still today.
Yeah, and they were able to also get the most out of Lincoln McCarthy and Marcus Adams, who were able to play really important roles for them throughout the year.
Yeah, and they still managed to get another young kid through the door in Eli Smith.
Who you really like.
Yeah, and they pulled off probably the heist of the century.
Wait, that's overusing heist of the century.
Wow.
There's been a lot of heist of the century with you, mate. They pulled off a very good pick swap by getting
heist. Daylight robbery.
Gold Coast second round pick for this year.
Throw in Lions and that is a heist. It's
not part of the same trade. Different trade.
He wasn't a trade. Lions exactly. wasn't traded.
Yeah, that's a heist.
That's a swindle.
That's the... Yeah. The Lions.
They hustled them.
Lions on his... What other synonyms have we got?
Oh, we got everything.
But you're right. The fact that their first round pick was 14 and that they got a second round pick back at 19, and they also have Collingwood's first round pick, which is currently sitting at 17.
And they also had pick 19 last year and pick 46 last year.
Yeah.
pick 19 last year
was Eli Smith.
Was that Eli? Yeah.
Yeah, it ended up being 21. And I guess that's the other thing to think about with pick 14 and pick 19 this year. Pick 14 will probably be around pick 14 or 15.
Yeah.
Pick 19 will probably maybe closer to 20 or 21, 22. Because there'll be bids for academy players that'll come in.
Well, who's the main one? You've
Henry, looking... Mead,
Green, and McGuinness.
So I'm saying Green.
I think Mead probably falls outside of it. Henry, McGuinness.
Mead's a possible though. Like as in, I know that Green will be before 14, and the other three could theoretically be anywhere after.
Henry's probably before 14 at the moment.
Maybe. Yeah, so...
And then it's probably the question of... Well, McGuinness, I think, will be between those two, personally.
Yeah.
And then I think... Yeah, so it just... It's really... Actually, to be honest, yeah, it's really that Jackson Mead bid. Does it come in the 20s or
10s? And then it also depends on where those clubs have picks. So if they all get picks outside of 19, then they're jumping ahead rather than matching with picks inside of that, so...
But it also could all make pick 19 very valuable to some clubs.
Yeah, maybe. Definitely if they're trying to get back in the draft as well. So, I mean, they've got a pretty good fist at the draft, given what they gave up last year to get senior players as well.
Yeah.
And definitely the good thing is that they're set up for long-term success. Don't even have to talk through that. Everyone understands that their list is very young. They've got some of the best young players in the competition.
Yeah, it's not just their list is young. It's more their... Even though their average age was mid-table, if you looked at their spine... It would be one of the youngest spines in the AFL, and with the exception of Carlton, or actually, to be honest, Carlton and Brisbane have the most exciting spine of the competition, but they both have the same problem, which is probably going to be the bad, which is they have aging ruckmen. So
yeah,
you know, I really think that for Brisbane, you know, good spines win flags. All you have to do is look at, you know, actually, to be honest, Richmond and kind of the Dogs disprove that, but Hawthorn and West Coast last year.
But I mean, you even see with Richmond, they had a good most of the spine. As in, if you counted Dusty as a forward, like a full forward, and you go Dusty, Rewalt, Rance. Townsend
had a career year.
Well, yeah, you had a lot of guys that had career years. But I mean, they still do have good players, and you see that these teams, which are winning premierships, then also going to try and get better in those areas, as in go get Tom Lynch, because they could see that was a weakness for them.
Yeah.
So it's not to say that they could have won more flags with Lynch. I mean, they'd be flag favourites this year with Lynch. So definitely spines, strong spines are really important for flags.
And you look at their spine and it just is awesome. Like Harris Andrews is probably the most exciting defender in the game.
Yeah.
And they've got Darcy Gardner and who's the other one there? Who's the other big guy?
Playing forward, McStay?
Daniel McStay, he's the other one. So the backman that's gone forward.
Yeah, McStay.
And Hipwood.
Hipwood as well, yeah. So they've got some really, really exciting, talented players that are all getting better. There's still, I mean, we're going to start seeing the effects of it. Hodge leaving this year makes a bit of a difference as well, but... It's one of the things to just look out for is that, I mean, we spoke about it with Martin, and being that Martin being really the only ruck on the list that I would trust to hold them up, then Hodge, Zorko, Robinson and Rich are all older players as well. And
Hodge obviously retired.
Really important players to them. So Hodge, Rich, and we said Hodge is already retired, were their slingshot rebound. Robinson and Zorko were their goal-kicking midfielders, and both...
Robinson was incredible on a wing this year. Complete, he's reinvented himself.
Career year, but again, 30, so you're moving into that later phase in your career.
And I think with Hodge, like, his output, it's not that they've never been able to replace his output, because I think Witherden can easily replace that. It's the leadership aspect. So what Hodge... So what was it... Jay Rawlings, who's left Melbourne and moved on, he came out and they were asking him, well, what went wrong this year? And he actually said one of the things that he really noticed, and he hadn't been in an AFL coach's box for a year and a half because he'd been coaching Casey. And he actually said, you know, the thing that really struck him was the fact that you don't have a runner.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, at the VFL level, I can send a runner out any time. And then he said, at AFL, you've only got a 2-minute or a minute and a half window to get a runner out there. And because of that, you know, if you don't get around to everyone or you don't get your messages to everyone and all that stuff, then all of a sudden you're relying on the players to coach themselves. And when you've got young players in key positions, and like for Melbourne, our midfield was young.
Yep.
And Jones was playing on a wing. It means that for them to set themselves, and when they've got an issue, they're not able to correct as quickly. For the Lions, they've got Zorko in the middle. So he's an older prospect, and Lyons as well, who's, Jared Lyons is 26, 27 years old. He's got experience. He's played at Adelaide.
Yep.
Played at Gold Coast. They had Hodge down back calling out their setups. And then, probably up forward is where they didn't have the runner, but I guarantee you Chris Fagan's sitting in the box going, I don't have to send a runner down back. Hodgie's got this.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't have to send a runner out to the middle because Steph Martin or Zorko or Mitch Robinson's got this. I only have to send my runner to the forward line to sort it out with Hipwood and those boys up there.
Yep.
And that's all I have to do. So his runner is all of a sudden focused on one thing. So make no mistake, losing Hodge and his leadership is going to have an impact, especially if the AFL leave the rules as they are. Because I think that the problem that Melbourne had, obviously, with the runners that's been spoken about will rear its head for them as well. Losing a coach on field like Hodge can have huge impacts. And, you can say Melbourne had Geordie Lewis, but Geordie Lewis didn't play. Playing only played 12 games for the year.
Yeah.
So, and then we, didn't have our key positions in a lot of it. And it's these sorts of things that Brisbane, and I'm sure Chris Fagan, are looking at right now going, how do we avoid all this stuff?
Yeah, I agree, mate. A bit to do with Melbourne in there, maybe a bit of baggage that you were carrying, but you got a chance to talk about it, and it was Are You Okay Day last week. You didn't probably bring that up with me at the time, but
yeah, that's okay. I'm okay now. I'm still reeling from Melbourne season. One other thing I do want to pick up with Brisbane, and it's probably the only knock on them at the moment, is just the club debt at the moment. Hopefully a successful year like this and a really promising list helps them take a chunk out of that,
yeah,
and helps them set up their training facility. And I'd really just encourage all the Brisbane and former Fitzroy fans to get behind them and back them in, because we want to see clubs be financially successful. We want to get clubs off AFL handouts and support like that. So,
oh mate, the don't worry, the year that they've had will bring all those people out of the woodwork. I know. One of my colleagues from work has just got a home membership for the Brisbane Lions. So not a home membership, but a Melbourne membership for the Brisbane Lions, and for him and his son. So yeah. He's been living overseas, but first time in years. So there'll be a lot of fans that'll be excited to go see the Lions in the next year. So hopefully for them, they can keep it up. Moving into off contracts. So we'll start with Ben Keys.
What does he do? What do you do? He's a tough one.
I'd probably try to see if there's a market for him. Like a potential pick upgrade, a third round pick upgrade or something like that for and Ben Keys going one way.
He could be really handy at a club like Essendon.
Yeah, I mean, I would even think there's...
St Kilda?
I reckon teams that need to spend some more time developing. So I think Fremantle would be a good fit. I think North Melbourne would be a good fit. I think that teams that can just afford to take a couple of pick shuffles.
But Fremantle can't afford that because they've just sacked a coach because they didn't make finals.
Yeah, I know. But that could be a ruse. Like, they could just want to... They said that, but reality is that the list isn't built for that, for a flag right now. And I don't want to speculate what goes on at clubs, but... you got to be honest with the reality, and the reality is that they're not in a flag contending window right now.
No, absolutely not.
Maybe. I mean, they could change around given that they've got some good key position players. I'm going off traffic. So potentially them, but there's a couple of teams that I reckon that are developing that could use a Ben Keys.
If he's not got a market, I reckon he gets a 1-year deal.
Yeah, maybe a 1-year deal or a rookie. Connor Ballardin, I would just re-sign him. Yeah, he's just young.
2 years.
He's young. So just...
Well, he was a really, really talented key defender.
It's a great kick.
Oh, fantastic kick.
Beautiful kick. So
really rated him. So he should definitely get another couple.
Just give him another 2 years and let him develop. Corey Lyons, Not sure.
Dead list. I think he's a rookie listed player.
Yeah, maybe he gets another year on the rookie list, because I know that Jared Lyons took a couple of years as well to become a regular AFL player. Plus his brother's there, so maybe they just give him an extra year just as a...
The brothers.
Yeah, exactly. The Brisbane Lion Brothers Club. I'm not as sure. Like, I mean, D-List is probably the right call on him.
Yeah.
Josh Walker, probably re-sign is the right call on him.
Yeah, re-sign for a year.
Just depth. Lewis Taylor, trade.
Trade. Get whatever you can for him.
Don't know if it'll be much, given that he hasn't played much this year.
I just think that his value to Brisbane's probably gone now. I think they've kind of replaced him.
Yep, and there are other clubs that will value someone like him as well. Like, he was, what, 30, 40 goal forward a couple of years, and he can run, and he can take the game on, so I think there'll always be a market for him.
Just doesn't have a terribly penetrating kick.
No. Well, yeah, we'll have to see how he goes.
Luke Hodges retired.
Yes, Matt Eagles, they're trying to... Have you seen that article that Brisbane are trying to see if they can re-sign him as a Category B rookie, I think, or re-rookie him for a fourth year? I think they're actually trying to sign him outside of the cap.
I thought it was another year on the rookie list, because when he came onto their rookie list, it was already like halfway through a season or something.
No, it was because he was a Cat B rookie, and they're saying, given the circumstances, like as in, it's good for the league to have somebody come from the rookie
show,
which is, I mean, I think average, because to come from the rookie show, you have to have played local football, which
for a long time,
which everyone that plays local football gets taken through the regular rookie draft and isn't outside of the salary cap. So I think that they should probably just re-sign him, just stump up and bring him inside of the cap.
Mitch Hinge,
D-list for me. It could get another year.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I 1 year for me.
Yeah. Let's not spend too much time on that. Well, there's a couple of players that we don't know like enough about, and that's because they're playing Neefel and we can watch them occasionally, but maybe 1 year.
I think Nick Robertson
gets a year. Probably gets a year, maybe two. He's been a role player for them.
And he's going to be important for the depth when it comes.
Yeah, I agree.
Hinge, I think, probably not so much. I don't know. Yeah,
I don't think that their list hinges on his success. That was terrible. Ryan Bastanac, I reckon.
You're becoming a dad, me or you?
You.
That was a dad joke, mate.
Yeah, that's a good joke. Ryan Bastanac, I think, he's
probably done.
Probably done, yeah. I mean, I still think that the market for Ryan Bastanac too, because he can still play footy. Like,
he can play footy. He's a very good footy player.
I don't know. But like, maybe he goes to another club. So I think that he won't. I think he'll probably get delisted from Brisbane. Ryan Lester, they're probably going to want to re-sign him, given that Hodge is going. But he's a free agent. So, I mean, if I was another club, I'd be trying to get Ryan Lester, because Ryan Lester can play footy as well. And I reckon that Hawthorn would be a good fit for Ryan Lester. I mean,
what, older player?
Well, except he's an older player that has been playing in a younger club. Like, he's 27. It's better than the older players that they normally go for.
True, he's about 5 years younger.
And he's not had the exposure to an environment like Hawthorn or Geelong or any of the big Melbourne clubs. I reckon that could elevate his game as well. So,
yeah, absolutely. I reckon he could be a really good option at a number of clubs, but I also think he's... Like, we're talking about the potential drop-off with injury.
Yeah.
And I think that he's got to be one that Brisbane look to re-sign.
Agree. Sam Skinner, I'm pretty sure he's the one that keeps doing knees.
Yeah.
Maybe rookie list him if he's the one that I'm thinking of that keeps doing ACLs. He had talent, so maybe rookie list, but maybe D-list. Tom Cutler... You want him, but I think that he probably holds more value on the trade market than he does to you.
And he's the one who I think is potentially looking to
move back to Victoria. Yep, I've seen that as well. So, I mean, if you were getting really cute, you could... I will come to this point. Current draft picks, they hold the Pies pick, which is 17, pick 19, 32, 42, 50... Now, what I was going to say is, I think if you're being really cute, they could move a couple of players on. One player that was iffy last year and had a good year this year in Dan McStay. and Tom Cutler as a package deal with some potential draft picks as well.
For what?
A high pick. I mean, I say this because I would love them. I would love to see them, and I know that Jackson could be available later. I just don't think he will be. But I think there will be teams that are looking for younger players that can fill spots on their list, and Tom Cutler and what's his name? I've already gone blank on him. Dan McStay are definitely some of those types of players. Potentially like the Western Bulldogs, who could use a player.
Yeah, so I got a thought.
Yep.
What if pick two goes to Gold Coast?
Yep.
So you get the priority pick. Melbourne wants to trade pick three. Yep. Pick 11 and 15 from GWS for pick three.
Yep.
So they can get ahead. GWS get ahead of the Tom Green bid. Melbourne's pick 11 would then be roughly about right for Jackson. So if you packaged up, say, Cutler, McStay, and I don't know, I'd say pick in the 20s, but they've got pick 19, which will shuffle back to, say, pick 22.
Yep.
I could see Melbourne interested in that. McStay is a flexible key defender, key forward. Melbourne has some depth issues there. I think Cutler could offer something to Melbourne for sure, and we stay, keep a pick somewhere around that first round, and then Brisbane can go get Luke Jackson at around pick 11.
Yeah, I mean, another one I could see would be a team like Hawthorn. I think that if you were Hawthorn and you went for Cutler and McStay, both would be good fits.
Both great fits for Hawthorn.
Really strong fits for Hawthorn.
Yeah, absolutely.
For you aiming for pick 10. So you would go, say, pick 10 for pick 19 and those two, or pick 32 and those two. I think that's the right kind of players for Hawthorn, is in two younger players for a list that needs some middle-aged young players, as in guys that are 24 years oldish. And again, that's around that pick 10 spot.
Carlton at pick 8.
Yeah, Dieter, I mean, you mentioned that last week. Western Bulldogs wanting to go after Carlton's future.
I got a... So during the week, after I said, please explain how to say your name, apparently my second attempt was right. So I went back and listened to it. And apparently it's Dieter. So
okay.
Peter, but with a D.
Okay, Dieter. Thank you, Dieter, for clarifying that one. But like a pick like that, yeah, you're right. I think somewhere in that range might be worth targeting. I mean, it would be really good for them if they could keep 17 and 19 as well, by giving up 32 and those two players for something like 10 and for 10. I think that's about fair, given the value of those two players.
Mm.
And then going after somebody like Jackson, because I think that... As I said, I don't think they're a finals team yet.
No.
And I think that they've got enough time to address a second or third key forward issue. But I think that the ruck issue is becoming bigger. And I think that if they were to compete with the Dogs and teams like that that are going to be going around in the next 3 to 4 years and really pushing, I wouldn't want to see English against Oscar McInerney in the ruck.
Or Archie Smith.
Yeah, exactly. But I, like, you know, if you get Luke Jackson in 3 years' time, love to see that duel. I think that they're the two most clear ruckmen for the future. So,
and the other thing that it would do is that, like, they could, if they got Jackson, develop him, and they could get away with McInerney, Smith, and Martin for 2 years or something.
Yeah, I agree. Yep.
So, yeah, I like all that. With, let's just say, they hold their draft picks.
Yep.
Pick 17 and 19, what would you be looking for, like, assuming Jackson's unavailable?
Assuming Jackson's unavailable, I'd probably be going for some good defensive role players. So, for me, Gould, if he was still on the board, would be a steal at that pick.
Yeah,
and a great Hodge replacement long-term, given he's a leader and he's got a cannon. Laser cannon. Day. Sharp, probably Bianco, I could see being a good small defender / ball user for them.
O'Neill at 32 possibility.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Is there any other guys that you reckon?
Yeah, I'd like to see them probably, I guess, with Dane Zorko hitting kind of 30 this year, I think. look to kind of, I guess, that attacking midfielder that they've got. They need probably be searching for that. So I wouldn't mind seeing them look at a Miles Bergman. I think he's probably one that will suit them. They've gone and got Eli Smith, so they've gone and addressed some inside grunt and a bit of explosive play in him, as well as they've got obviously Berry and McCluggage and these guys. I think Bergman would really complement that skill set that they've got already for the young guys.
Yep.
So that would be a pick. I mean, if any club was going to go early on him, I think Brisbane would be the right club to do it.
Yep.
That's kind of probably the biggest one for me. If at 17, if Gould's available, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, same with Jackson. Yeah. If Gould or Jackson are available, I think that they're the exact right fits for them.
Yeah.
I mean, if they could package up some picks and players and get two earlier picks and get those guys even earlier, then that's fine too.
Well, they're literally the two players they want.
Yeah, I would think that the two players I think fit what they need going forward.
Obviously, with their needs, we've spoken about the ruckman and leaders, but with the half back line, I think they need some pace.
Which is where
Sharp kind of comes in.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that Sharp would be a good player for them as well. He's shown that he can already play at senior level as well. So potentially someone that could step up straight away. I think that he'd be a good shout if he went that way.
Yeah,
they've also sort of talked about. I've been mentioned being interested in Archie from Gold Coast Suns.
Callum Archie.
Callum Archie, yeah. As sort of a athletic forward or back. I think that it's a pretty reasonable target for them. I guess I did have not a reservation so much. It was more just something that I think that they have to keep in mind. And if Dom or any of the team from Brisbane are listening to this one, it is just something to keep in mind. Is that I'm fairly certain that Archie would have been recruited by Dom initially at Gold Coast. And while that's not a problem, there has been cases in the last few years of a recruiting manager or a list manager at one club, moving clubs and then trading for a player that they initially recruited that hasn't performed to the level that I guess you would have expected at AFL level. So there's obviously some of the players I'm talking about are guys that have moved from GWS to Carlton that were originally selected by Soss. And while, as I said, there's nothing inherently wrong with that, you're just sort of opening yourself up to escalation of commitment or that sort of bias where you're sort of doubling down on your investment. And it's not, as I said, it's not necessarily a bad thing because I think that Archie is good. It's just something to consider. Like, unfortunately, as good as we are, and if you listen to any of our podcasts, you know how good we think you are and how many good things you think you've done. So I am trying to say this with as much respect as I possibly can. But you can't possibly be unbiased about this decision. You can't, because you're originally invested in him. So whether you think you're unbiased or not, you are biased in this decision. So it really needs to be handballed off to other people in the team to do the independent assessment on whether he's a good fit or not.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a more general comment for all teams as well.
All recruiters.
All recruiters, anyone that's following recruiting. It's really interesting when you see a person that's worked in an influential role at a footy club move to another footy club just to track where players that they initially recruited at that past club have gone, because there is that risk of escalation of commitment, just doubling down to prove that the player that they originally drafted, it was a good draft pick, and for some reason or another it just didn't work out at their initial club. So
I mean, look, like Archie, I'll appreciate everything John's saying. I agree with him wholeheartedly. Like, you know, there is a form of bias inherently when you've selected someone, whether it be at your club or another club, you're always naturally going to be linked with them. So I'm sure they'll be going through a process of quite a rigorous process of evaluating what they trade for Archie and everything. But I guess in terms of how he fits in their side and why I don't mind the trade, I guess, is that I think that Brisbane probably lack, I guess, athletic defenders, small defenders, I guess. And Archie, he's played about was it 30 or something, 40 games? I can't remember. He's
probably maybe 30.
Yeah, yeah, he's not played a lot of games. But I know that Stewie Jew for about half a dozen games threw him down back, and he performed pretty well. He performed more than more than admirably in those games, and I could see a temptation, especially given Brisbane's list, looking for a bit of athleticism off the half back line.
Yep.
I could certainly see how Archie could slide into them. Other targets I like, I know they've been linked with Hugh Greenwood. I love that for them. I know that's kind of why they recruited Eli Smith for that sort of player.
Yep.
Greenwood being at 27, he offers a bit of age and maturity. He doesn't have a tremendous amount of games experience, but I think that his age, wisdom, being a multi-sport player would offer a lot to Brisbane. And he certainly, the role he plays is a role they could use a player in. And I think he'd be very good with protecting a guy like Lachie Neal.
Yep.
Cam Ellis-Yolman, I think any time we link someone, we suggest someone with Greenwood, we're going to naturally suggest Cam Ellis-Yolman as well, because he's a very similar type player, probably more coalface than Greenwood. Can't play as many positions as Greenwood. Not as big as Greenwood, but certainly an exceptional extractor. He'd compete well with Lions, I guess. And that's where I kind of like Greenwood, because he offers something a little bit different.
Yeah, I
agree. To Lions.
Yeah, Greenwood can float forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I like.
And finally, if they're looking for a bit of dash, I could see them maybe throwing their hat in the ring with Brandon Ellis as a restricted free agent. I know he's starting to get a bit of traction from other clubs as well at the moment. Obviously not signed with Richmond yet. Any clubs looking for a bit of pace, someone who takes the game on, I think is going to be looking at Brandon Ellis pretty closely. So he could offer a lot definitely to Brisbane. I'm not sure they'll go down that path, but just one I kind of like for them.
Yeah, no, there's some good options for them, mate, and we're probably going to leave it there. We'll just do our final words, and I mean, if I go for my final words, I just think that Brisbane are probably in the right position. They probably overperformed this year, as in their list is in the right position, and they just need to keep going to the draft and keep topping up the bottom of their list with new high talent players, similar to what GWS were doing when they started moving up the ladder. You've got some really, really good players, and if you can just continually top it up so that in 2 to 3 years, when you're really at top flight, even though you finish second on the ladder this year, I don't reckon this is the best we'll see Brisbane. I think that'll come in 3 years' time. So don't be disheartened if you fall outside the eight next year, but just continue preparing for long-term success.
Yep, I'll back John up. List is in a magnificent position, amazing spine. Probably start to look at targeting Ruckman. I mean, if you do trade early picks or you can't get Jackson with your pick 32, don't be afraid to look at someone like a Nick Bryan or even a Charlie Combin, just as I guess a developing ruck in the background. Just keep doing what you're doing. Like, we were full of praise last year for Brisbane's recruiting. That the club has got the right people in the right place. They've turned the ship around, I guess.
Yep.
And the club's heading in a great direction. Don't be afraid of missing finals next year. Don't do a Melbourne. As long as you finish around that kind of mid-pack mark, ninth to kind of maybe 10th, 8th, you know, that sort of middle pack mark, I think is about right for where you guys are. And you're setting yourselves up for serious long-term success to be challenging for flags in the future.
And that'll do us for the week, guys. Thanks again for listening. And our next week will be a bit of a hectic week with the grand final coming. Mm. But we will try to get you to podcast with the list reviews and potentially a grand final preview. It might just be a shorter episode.
Yep.
But it's an exciting week. And obviously, once the grand final's done, I'm not sure if we'll get two out straight away, but potentially then we can have a couple of easier weeks with maybe one a week, covering the grand final loser and the grand final winner, and then some of our postseason stuff when we move into trade and draft. But thanks again for listening, and love you all, and speak to you again next week. And
thanks for listening, guys. We much appreciate it, and keep in touch on Twitter. We really do love the Twitter engagement. So cheers, guys.
Thanks. Bye.
If you constantly worry that the worst is going to happen, you're not alone. 1 in 4 Australians will experience anxiety. Know when anxiety's talking. Visit Beyond Blue to start a life beyond anxiety.